The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in, then flags any hidden errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see any other healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Before we start the show, just a reminder to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. And please, give us a 5-star rating. It helps us beat the big tech algorithm. Also, if you love Red Pilled America, please consider becoming a Backstage subscriber. You'll have exclusive access to our entire back catalog of episodes and our behind-the-scenes podcast. Just visit redpilledamerica.com and click support in the top menu for details. And don't forget to get merch from the RPA store. RPA merch is always made in America and never stuck on a cargo ship. Visit redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu. Support what you love or it goes away. Thanks, everyone.
For decades, Hollywood and the legacy media have tried to normalize transgenderism. The campaign has reached into every facet of American culture.
Celebrity offspring of the legendary Sonny and Cher, Chastity Bono, she is now in the process of switching genders.
Are you a woman?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman.
Leah Thomas has become the first openly transgender athlete to win a Division I NCAA championship.
Dr. Rachel Levine is now the first openly transgender official to be confirmed by the United States Senate.
Not all boys have a penis and not all girls have a vagina.
Now that we're decades into this social experiment, it's time to ask a simple question. What should parents do about transgenderism? I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America. What should parents do about transgenderism? To find the answer, we tell the story of how the transgender mob pressured a family into changing their daughter's gender, and in the process, revealed what parents must do to protect their children.
It was mid-February 2024 when transgender activists exploded with outrage.
I bet y'all haven't heard about the brutal beating of Nex Benedict, a non-binary high school student.
The student they were all talking about was Nex Benedict, a sophomore from Owosso, Oklahoma.
Nex Benedict was 16 years old, non-binary, living in the Republican hellscape that is Oklahoma.
This 16-year-old sophomore, non-binary youth at a high school just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, was beaten to death by classmates. An
altercation occurred wherein three older girls beat up Nex in the girls' bathroom.
A bathroom that Nex was forced to use because of laws regarding their gender identity.
Nex Benedict was sitting in class terrified. Oklahoma just banned trans kids from going to the bathroom, so they had a decision to make. Do they break the law or not? Nex, a straight A student, followed the law and went into the girls' room. They didn't know that three older girls followed them inside.
It has been reported that at least one of the girls was repeatedly beating Nex's head on the bathroom floor.
That the classmate slammed this child's head into the floor repeatedly.
It was at that time a teacher walked in and broke up the fight.
The story these activists told was remarkably consistent.
The child could not walk.
Nex was unable to walk.
Nex could not walk to the nurse's station without assistance. Nobody at the school called the police or an ambulance or is reported to have taken any action of any kind.
Did the school call an ambulance? No.
Some reports have even said that the school refused to call an ambulance.
No ambulance was called. No parent was called. No bully punished.
Their grandmother brought them to the hospital after the fight.
The child was released from the hospital that evening, but was rushed back the following day, where they passed away.
They died as a result of that physical assault.
They couldn't have an open casket at the funeral because of how bad it was.
Just these far right attacks, these elevations of anti-trans folks have deadly consequences.
It was a horrific story. Any parent's worst nightmare. An innocent high school sophomore followed into a bathroom the student was forced to use, then murdered by hate-filled older girls simply for being trans. It had all the hallmarks of a story that should have been national news. Yet, 10 days after the child's death, the activists were astonished that the national media had yet to pick up the story.
I honestly cannot understand why this is not getting more attention.
The gruesome tale portrayed an America that few could recognize. The only problem was, the core of the narrative was a complete fabrication. Nex Benedict was not jumped by older girls. The sophomore didn't need help walking out of the bathroom. Nex wasn't even being bullied. It was Nex that was the aggressor. And if that wasn't enough, non-binary Nex may not have been non-binary, or even named Nex. The story of Nex Benedict is one that illustrates the power of the transgender narrative machine and why it must be dismantled to save the lives of children. News of the tragic death of the Owosso sophomore first reached the public on February 8, 2024, when local station KJRH first broke news of a student that died one day after a fight.
Owosso police are investigating a 16-year-old high school student's death tonight. Detectives are still trying to piece together exactly what happened.
It was yesterday afternoon around 3:30 when police were called to the Bailey Medical Center here in Owosso. A parent had called them and said that their 16-year-old daughter had gotten in a fight at school and wanted to report that fight to police. Now, this was the first time they had heard about this fight. They filed the report, and then earlier this evening they were told that that same student was rushed back to the hospital and died this evening. They do not know if the fight was related to the death. They said there was a medical incident that happened today, and that's why she was taken to the hospital. They're awaiting an autopsy and a toxicology report to give a final result on this case.
Other local stations would pick up the story the following day. All reporting labeled the deceased a girl.
Police say the girl got into a fight at school, but then died a day later.
But the name of the female had not yet been announced. For the next week, the media was quiet on the story. But by the time of her funeral, reporters from KJRH spoke with Sue Benedict, who confirmed her child, Dagny Benedict, was the deceased. A reporter for KJRH was at the funeral.
Out of respect for the family, we didn't take video inside. But I can tell you firsthand, it was a moving service.
The reporter transcribed part of Sue Benedict's speech, and the mother was understandably distraught.
She was tough, but a great kid, said Dagny's mother. I loved Dagny so much.
It was clear, per Dagny's mother and the obituary, that the family viewed Dagny as a girl.
Dagny was an animal lover, according to her family, especially when it came to the cat, Zeus.
A friend even referred to Dagny with she/her pronouns.
I got in touch with Alexandria Davison at the local candy store. She tells me Dagny would often go by the nickname Nez. She says Dagny was fun to be around and lovable to everybody.
Someone I used to walk in the halls with, someone I could have been to class with, is no longer a part of our lives, no longer a part of the community. a community that I love, and now she's gone.
It was a tragic local story, the untimely loss of a young girl with her whole life ahead of her. It's likely that, in just a few days, the death of Dagny Benedict would have quietly dissipated from local news reports. But then, a lesbian activist from Pittsburgh picked up the story. She'd repackaged Dagny as Next Benedict. And when she did, the story of the dead sophomore went nuclear.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. When I first heard about it, I thought, it's about time. This makes sense. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in for savings. Let's say you, your spouse, or kids see the doctor or other medical provider. When your claims come in, HealthLock automatically reviews them and flags any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud, so you pay only what you owe. This is your money you're saving. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped members save more than $130 million. I get it, medical billing errors can happen, but you should be able to pay with confidence. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Do you want to hear Red Pilled America stories ad-free? Then become a Backstage subscriber. Just log on to redpilledamerica.com and click join in the top menu. Join today and help us save America one story at a time.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So the death of Dagny Benedict was covered by local media, but the national media largely ignored the tragedy. That is, until a lesbian activist picked up the story. On February 16, 2024, just a day after Dagny's funeral, a self-branded Pittsburgh lesbian published an article on her website. The explosive headline read, "Grieving Next Benedict, the brutal killing of 16-year-old non-binary student in an Oklahoma high school." The article was filled with one shocking claim after another: that Dagny was jumped by older girls in the girls' bathroom, that one girl was repeatedly beating Dagny's head across the floor. After the beating, Dagny couldn't walk to the nurse's station on her own. And even after the horrendous beating, the school staff refused to call an ambulance. What would have caught any local Owosso reporter's eye was the name the headline gave to the deceased. Throughout the article, the lesbian activist referred to Dagny as Nex and used they-them pronouns for Dagny throughout. Apparently, the writer found information that the dead sophomore was non-binary. The post might have gone unnoticed, but a Harvard transgender instructor, Alejandra Carballo, posted the article on X with the caption, "A non-binary teenager was brutally beaten to death in an Oklahoma high school by their classmates in the school bathroom. This is the inevitable result of anti-trans moral panic." Within a matter of hours, the post went viral on X, receiving almost 9 million views, and it inspired social media users to use storytelling to demand justice.
"These attacks on transgender and gender nonconforming youth, in fact, all LGBTQIA+ young people entirely, are escalating to the point that they are becoming deadly.
This needs to be blown up. Somebody needs to be held accountable immediately."
And some LGBTQ activists found a way to add potency to their narrative.
"Now Next Benedict is dead. after a fight in the same school that Chaya Rachik targeted, stoking the local community with the fear that their children were being groomed by queer ideology less than 2 years ago.
Chaya Rachik is the purveyor of Libs of TikTok, an X account that reposts TikTok and other videos of radical gender activists. Now, these activists weren't just creating this story out of thin air. Their source all appeared to be from the Pittsburgh Lesbian Post, who in turn got her details from an early report by local news station KJRH. The day after Dagny's death, KJRH 2 News got a call from someone who claimed to be the mother of Dagny's best friend. She asked reporters to keep her name anonymous, but she gave the station a sensational version of the bathroom brawl.
2 News got the tip about the fight from a woman claiming to be the mother of the victim's best friend. I spoke with her Friday.
I think that complications from head trauma is what caused it.
The mother wouldn't tell me the victim's name, but says she was a sophomore. She says 3 older girls were beating on the victim and her daughter in the girls' bathroom.
I know at one point one of the girls was pretty much repeatedly beating her head against the floor.
She says a teacher walked in and broke it up.
She couldn't walk to the nurse's station on her own, and the staff proceeded not to call an ambulance, which just amazes me.
If true, the anonymous tipster's version of the story was interesting, not only because of its sensational nature, but also because the tipster constantly referred to Dagny by she-her pronouns, just as Dagny's mother had done earlier. I mean, this was allegedly the mother of Dagny's best friend. This same station actually spoke to Dagny's mother, Sue Benedict, and another friend of the sophomore, and they all referred to the deceased as Dagny with she-her pronouns. Where did this lesbian activist come up with the name and pronoun change? An independent reporter named Jeremy Lee Quinn asked the Pittsburgh activist that broke the story to the LGBTQ community if she'd ever confirmed Dagny's preferred pronouns. The blogger reportedly responded, saying she couldn't find anything on social media that confirmed that aspect of the story. Jeremy Lee Quinn also claims to have texted with a friend of Dagny's, who told him,
"She went by both names,"
meaning Nex and Dagny. The message went on,
"For some reason, people are assuming that she only went by Nex, like she completely changed her name."
Apparently, she had not. Another liberal YouTuber claiming to be a father of a daughter at Owosso High School said his daughter only knew of Dagny as Dagny, not Nex. Dagny's obituary was published on February 10th, 2 days after her death, and it clearly states her name was in fact Dagny. And the text of the obituary used she-her pronouns throughout.
Dagny Ellis Benedict was born on January 11th, 2008, in El Paso, Texas,
opens the obituary.
She passed from this life on Thursday, February 8th, 2024, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the age of 16 years.
A reporter for KJRH published parts of Dagny's mother's speech at the funeral.
"She was tough, but a great kid. I loved Dagny so much."
Dagny also had no social media footprint that could publicly verify her use of the name Nex, or her preference for non-binary pronouns. With Dagny's mother, the alleged mother of Dagny's best friend, the obituary, and multiple alleged friends of Dagny referring to her with she-her pronouns, it's unclear where the Pittsburgh LGBTQ activist came up with the name and pronoun change. But in the days that followed her viral post, it would become clear why she-her Dagny Benedict would be repackaged as they-them Nex Benedict.
The day after Dagny's death, a woman named Cassandra Phelps set up a GoFundMe account, with Dagny's mother, Sue Benedict, as the beneficiary. GoFundMe is, of course, a platform that many people use to raise donations for any number of reasons, including funeral expenses. Dagny's GoFundMe page opened stating, quote, "It is with great sadness and a heavy heart that we have to share the unexpected passing of Dagny Benedict on February 8th, 2024. Dagny was a daughter, sister, cousin, and aunt." The page started off with a modest goal of $15,000 to pay for, quote, funeral expenses. About 2 days before the funeral, the page garnered roughly $7,500, about half its goal. The day after the funeral, it reached almost $10,000, roughly two-thirds of its goal. Typically, that would be the end of the fundraiser. But in this case, it was just getting started. Once Dagny was repackaged as non-binary Nex Benedict, LGBTQ plus activists went on a warpath, demanding social media users, reporters, and even the parents stop using the name Dagny, and instead refer to the deceased as Nix.
The absolute gall of you people to misgender and deadname someone who was killed, literally killed, for being in the trans spectrum.
They contacted local news demanding more coverage.
Some people are asking questions about why we are not doing more coverage on the death of a 16-year-old Owosso student. We want people to know we did report on that student's death 2 weeks ago, and we did report on that student's funeral.
The trans activists used the rallying call, "Say Their Name," with the term "their" in the slogan, referring to non-binary pronouns they/them. With the Alphabet Mafia community branding Dagny as non-binary next, the GoFundMe immediately quadrupled to $40,000. It was around this time that Dagny's mother, Sue Benedict, posted an update to the GoFundMe page, stating, quote, "We at this time are thankful for the ongoing support and did not expect the love from everyone. We are sorry for not using their name correctly, and as parents, we were still learning the correct forms. Please do not judge us as Nex was judged. Please do not bully us for our ignorance on the subject. The headstone will have correct name of their choice. In Nex Benedict's name, God bless." And just like that, it became official. She, her, Dagny Benedict, became they, them, Nex Benedict. It was clear. Dagny's parents were getting pressured into changing their daughter's name, and the financial windfall for the switch would be remarkable.
Local news desks scrambled to make the pronoun changes.
So many of you reached out to us about Nex's name and preferred pronouns.
Initially, we held off on reporting that information because we were still working to get the name and pronouns confirmed through an official source.
The student's family has now confirmed they went by the name Nex Benedict and used they/them pronouns. Originally, the student's obituary had she/her pronouns. That's why we're pointing this out. It has changed.
In some cases, local stations even went back to previously published stories and changed their use of she/her to they/them. It was a remarkable turn of events. Media, even in deep red Oklahoma, adopted the trans terminology. The switch made the story go nuclear.
This story has now gone viral on social media, prompting officers in the school district to release new statements.
On February 20th, Owosso schools say the, quote, altercation that took place in the bathroom lasted less than 2 minutes and was broken up by other students and a staff member who were there. After the students involved walked on their own to get aid, school staff say they determined an ambulance wasn't needed. But one student's parents was recommended they bring their child to a hospital.
Police are actively investigating the fight at school and are waiting on the medical examiner's report for the cause and manner of death.
Activists stormed a meeting, which included the school district superintendent, Ryan Walters. Walters had been a loud critic of the transgender movement, and activists blamed him for the death. But just as community activists erupted, a witness of the bathroom altercation came forward to dispel some of the misinformation littering the reporting.
I was actually in one of the stalls. A few of their hair was messed up.
That's Shayla Perez, an Owosso high school student that spoke to a local ABC affiliate.
But for the most part, no one really had, concerning, super concerning marks or anything. There was a few bruises, maybe.
Including the student that died?
Yes.
The Owosso Police Department no doubt saw a national firestorm was brewing, so they released even more information about Dagny's death.
Owosso police tell us the initial medical examiner's report shows Nex Benedict did not die from trauma.
Owosso law enforcement said the toxicology report would give the definitive cause of death, but that could take a few more weeks to be released. They hoped they'd quieted the storm, but activists stepped up their attack on the community.
Now, Owosso police say several threats have been called in and emailed to Owosso Public Schools since yesterday morning.
Owosso police say one of the threatening messages they got said, "I'm coming to the school," and that's what made law enforcement concerned. Owosso police plans to have extra officers around schools for the near future.
Perhaps in an attempt to posture for a future lawsuit, the attorney for the Benedict family issued a statement.
It says the Benedicts know all too well the devastating effects of bullying and school violence and pray for meaningful change where bullying is taken seriously.
The family says we still haven't seen video that shows Nex or any of these people were able to leave this girl's bathroom unassisted, so we don't know the extent of the injuries coming out of this fight.
As the Benedict family turned up the heat, the story went national.
Well, an investigation is underway into the death of a non-binary high school student just one day after a fight with other students on campus.
Now their death is galvanizing the LGBTQ community amid concerns they were bullied for their gender identity.
The story got so hot that the Biden White House responded.
Okay, so I want to address some devastating news out of Oklahoma. As a parent, I was absolutely heartbroken to learn about Next Benedict's death. Every young person deserves to feel safe and supported at school. Our hearts are with Next Benedict's family, friends, entire school community in the wake of this horrific and gut-wrenching tragedy. I know that for many LGBTQ plus students across the country, this may feel personal and deeply, deeply painful. There's always someone you can talk to.
But what the world would soon learn was that the police department was holding back some information. And with the White House now getting involved, they weren't going to hold back any longer. By the time the Owosso PD were done, the entire narrative peddled by the LGBTQ activists would crumble.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. When I first heard about it, I thought, it's about time. This makes sense. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in for savings. Let's say you, your spouse, or kids see the doctor or other medical provider. When your claims come in, HealthLock automatically reviews them and flags any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud, so you pay only what you owe. This is your money you're saving. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped members save more than $130 million. I get it, medical billing errors can happen, but you should be able to pay with confidence. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
If you ever wanted to hear yourself on Red Pilled America, here's your chance. We're wondering, what's your favorite episode? Email us a short voice memo with your favorite story along with why, and you may hear yourself on the show. Email your voice memo to info@redpilledamerica.com. That's info@redpilledamerica.com. Can't wait to hear which ones you pick. Welcome back to Red Pilled America. With the White House responding to the tragic death of Dagny Benedict, all eyes were on the Owosso police force. It had been roughly 2 weeks since the death of the sophomore. Investigators no doubt were holding back information, but with the building national pressure, they decided it was time to release the Kraken. Activists claimed, after the beating, that Next Benedict couldn't even walk to the nurse's office without assistance. Her family were raising questions about the same issue.
The family says, we still haven't seen video that shows Next or any of these people were able to leave this girl's bathroom unassisted, so we don't know the extent of the injuries coming out of this fight.
So, the Owosso Police Department released surveillance video that completely destroyed that narrative. The video showed that it wasn't the girls that followed Dagny into the bathroom. It was the other way around. Dagny followed them. The videos also showed Dagny walking under her own accord to the nurse's office after the fight. School surveillance video also showed Dagny walking, with her own mother, unassisted, out to an awaiting car. This new piece of information began to raise questions about Sue Benedict's credibility. Why would the family lawyer raise this issue when Dagny's own mother saw that her daughter needed no assistance in walking? But perhaps most damning, the Owosso Police Department also released the body cam of an officer that visited Dagny and her mother at the hospital.
Hey, stranger.
Hey, Mr. Thompson.
I'm Officer Thompson. We spoke on the phone the other day.
Yes.
In response to Sue Benedict's request to file a police report, an officer arrived at Dagny's hospital room.
What happened today?
I got jumped.
Tell me about it. What happened?
It was clear that the officer was familiar with Dagny, and that's because she had recently been in trouble. As the conversation progressed, the officer learned that the altercation occurred while Dagny was serving an at-school suspension. Apparently, Dagny and a few of her friends had been caught vaping.
You know the people that I got caught with?
You mean from the other day, or the vaping situations?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They were in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was easy to see that Dagny was not brutally beaten. In fact, there was not even a single visible bruise. This was not at all what the media narrative had been portraying. Dagny went on to explain the altercation.
So they just up and decided to just start messing with you?
Yeah, because of the way that we dressed.
From the videos, you could see that Dagny wasn't dressed noticeably different than other girls. The fight didn't start because Dagny was transgender. These kids were having the same conflict that plays out thousands of times a day throughout American high school.
We were going to stack chairs, and after we stacked chairs, we mm-hmm. went to the bathroom.
Okay.
And I was talking with my friends, they were talking with their friends, and we were laughing, and they had said something like, "Why do they laugh like that in front of us?"
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up there and I poured water on them.
Okay.
And then all three of them came at me.
It was Dagny that started the altercation by pouring water on the girls. For weeks, Dagny's mother suggested that the altercation was tied to her daughter being bullied over a long period of time. But Dagny had never met any of them until participating in ISP, or in-school suspension, as Dagny would explain herself.
Obviously, you know each other. Obviously, you both
don't know each other.
Well, you know of each other with the vape situations and all that.
Before this ISP thing, we never saw each other. The freshmen were sophomore.
Okay.
Contrary to what the woke mob was screaming, the girls weren't older than Dagny. They were freshmen. Dagny was a sophomore.
We never saw each other. The freshmen were sophomore.
Okay.
Dagny wasn't being bullied by older girls. She was the aggressor. But perhaps the biggest narrative buster was that throughout the conversation, Dagny's mother was referring to her daughter not as they, them, next, but as she, her, Dagny.
She's been in ISP. And she told me, she said, "Mom," I said, "ignore it, Dagny." She did until she couldn't in the bathroom, just beating the crap out of her. Because she never touched them.
Okay.
She never touched them. Now, okay. She did throw some water at them.
The entire woke mob narrative was a fabrication based on one biased anonymous source that got much of the critical information wrong. After hearing Dagny's side of the story, the officer advised her mother that he could take a police report, but it would put Dagny in legal jeopardy because it was her that started the fight.
So I will absolutely do a report. If that's what you want, I can do it. Okay, but I'm just letting you know. If the other party wants to do the same thing, she's going to be, the assault will be on her as well. The moment she threw that water, you've now assaulted somebody. You made the first jab based on her own admittance on camera as well as whenever else.
Mm-hmm.
She essentially started it. She's in a little bit more of a situation because she's the one who started it by throwing a object or an item onto another individual, starting the incident. She's the one who started the domino effect.
In the end, Dagny's mother decided to not press charges. With the release of the videos, the public was starting to get a clearer picture of what actually happened. But the Owosso police weren't done. They also released the emergency 911 call Dagny's mother placed the following day.
Owosso 911, what's the address of your emergency?
And the call gave glaring hints as to the real cause of death.
And I need to get someone, an ambulance here quick, please.
Okay, what's
my daughter, I don't know what's going around wrong. She's posturing and her hands
are
in.
She
is 16.
Okay.
Dagny's mom was fixated on the fight the previous day.
And her hands are posturing already. They're rolling in like I don't know if it's from her head injury because the girls that beat her up knocked her to the ground and she hit her head on the bathroom floor.
This is information I don't need. I need to know and make sure that she's breathing okay and stuff like that. About you yesterday, it doesn't matter to me.
The 911 dispatcher asked if Dagny had been taking any drugs.
Does she take any medication?
No. She does at night, yes, but she hasn't had none today.
Okay. And does she take any illegal drugs? Not that I care. I just need to know. Okay.
No, she does not. No.
She doesn't smoke or vape or any of that stuff?
She has vaped, yes.
Ultimately, Dagny's mom elaborated on her daughter's medication.
What medication does she take at night?
It's for anxiety, and she can be mood swings, fluoxetine, and quetiapine.
Okay.
Fluoxetine is known by the brand name Prozac and is taken for anxiety, obsessive compulsion, and major depression disorders. Quetiapine is an antipsychotic medication taken for bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and other major depressive disorders.
But she only takes that at night, about 8 o'clock at night before she goes to bed. And I keep it put up, so.
And this is where we should pause for a moment. For over 2 weeks, as the story went from a tragic small local story to a national event, it's hard to get around the high probability that Dagny's mother was not giving the entire story to the American public. She'd already been informed that the altercation was not a result of bullying. It was actually Dagny that started the fight. When she picked up her daughter, she could also see that Dagny didn't need any help getting to the car and was not visibly injured. According to Dagny's mom, she was once a nurse.
Okay, but she is breathing like we don't need to start CPR. That's just my main concern right now.
No. I would have done that already. I was a nurse. I went to nursing school.
Okay.
The medical examiner had already announced that Dagny hadn't died from trauma. If she was a nurse that was in contact with law enforcement since the death of her daughter, and since she was the keeper of her medication, it's not a huge leap to think that Dagny's mom was at least aware that Dagny's death was possibly the result of a self-inflicted act. Nevertheless, for weeks, that was not the message she conveyed to the public. In fact, quite the opposite. According to news reports, Dagny's mother suggested that the truth of her daughter's death was being covered up by the police. By the day of the police department's data dump, Dagny Benedict's GoFundMe campaign swelled to over $120,000. In the coming days, the public would learn more about Dagny Benedict. Vigils were held by trans activists in various pockets of the country, including Texas, Boston, and elsewhere.
This is a vigil for Nex Benedict, who tragically died after a bullying and fight situation in Owosso nearby. They were a non-binary, two-spirit, indigenous youth.
But it was the community of Owosso that gave a peek into what was to come. A vigil for Nex Benedict was organized in the town that she died in. A large crowd was expected. The school has a reported 3,000 students, so the organizers purchased 600 candles. But they wouldn't need that many. Only about 100 people showed up. Nevertheless, national media would cover the event.
Memories of jokes and joy echoed through Owosso's Redbud Festival Park Sunday. Owosso High School parent Anna Richardson didn't know Nex, but knew the community needed a safe place to mourn them and organized Sunday's vigil.
A few students would speak at the vigil, including Dagny's alleged former boyfriend and her alleged boyfriend at the time of her death. Some at the event even claimed that Nex actually went by he-him pronouns, not they-them. It was all very confusing, especially to the media, some of which changed Dagny's pronouns again to he-him.
Nex had thrown water on them for making fun of the way that he and a friend were dressed.
The day after the vigil, a school walkout was organized. Only a few dozen people showed up, almost none of which appeared to be students.
Well, Michelle, it wasn't a major walkout like some may have anticipated. I'll move out the way. I would say there's about maybe 20 to 30 folks out there, and a lot of them were adults just waiting to be in support with the students who walked out.
Not a very large crowd at all.
Nevertheless, the legacy media made the paltry attended events into a national story.
Benedict's death has sparked nationwide demonstrations against anti-LGBTQ rhetoric.
From rallies in New York,
Next Benedict,
to walkouts in Oklahoma.
Justice for Next!
Members of the LGBTQ community showed their support for Next Benedict.
The national media coverage ignited by trans activists in far-off parts of the country swelled Dagny's GoFundMe page to over $170,000. But the response of Owosso locals after the surveillance video release signaled that the community was likely privy to information that the rest of the country was not. And that information would come out a few weeks later, in mid-March 2024.
A heartbreaking update to a story we brought you last month. The death of Oklahoma student Nex Benedict has been ruled a suicide, according to the state medical examiner.
Karen, that Emmy's report coming into our newsroom just a little while ago. It shows the teen died of a toxic combination of fluoxetine and diphenhydramine, otherwise known as Prozac and Benadryl. Also hearing from the Owosso Police Department tonight saying they suspected suicide from the beginning, but did not want to make those thoughts known until the Emmy completed their report.
America learned what many had known for a while.
Dagny Benedict was a troubled young soul. And the trans movement, along with the entire mainstream media, used her to further their narrative. Dagny had been abandoned by her parents at a very young age. At the time of her death, her biological father was in prison. Sue Benedict, who we've been calling Dagny's mother, was actually her biological grandmother, who officially adopted her sometime before her death. A group representing abused children were at the adoption ceremony. Dagny Benedict was likely the classic case of a troubled child that turned to the predatorial transgender community that promises peace and acceptance if their ideology is adopted. But as we've unfortunately seen, that rarely pans out. A few years earlier, Dagny was drawn to a pro-trans middle school teacher that famously resigned for posting a video that troubled many parents.
Hey, if your parents don't love and accept you for who you are this Christmas, I'm your parents now. I'm proud of you. Drink some water. I love you. Bye.
Shortly after Dagny's suicide, this teacher posted a memory of Dagny, stating, quote, "My favorite memory of Nex was just how much of a gremlin they were. I swear, every time I would be on bus duty, I would hear Nex scream across campus, 'Ren, let me fight you for your Mustang.'" Maybe Dagny wasn't getting the kind of help she so desperately needed. Which leads us back to the question, what should parents do about transgenderism? For the sake of our kids, we need to push the medical community to designate transgenderism as a mental disorder. Red Pilled America has covered the history behind the mainstreaming of transgenderism in several episodes. And in particular, we've chronicled how the American Psychiatric Association removed gender dysphoria from its official list of mental disorders. It did so under the pressure of LGBTQ+ activists, without any long-term studies justifying its removal. By doing so, the Psychiatric Association has abandoned its duty to protect America's youth suffering from this condition. Even the legacy media understands that the transgender movement has a mental stability problem.
A survey from 2022 by the Trevor Project found that more than 40% of youth,
that's LGBTQ+ youth,
about the ages of 13 to 24, seriously considered suicide, and that the rates are actually higher for transgender and non-binary children.
Adults are free to make whatever legal life choice they'd like. But for the sake of our children, we need to denormalize the acceptance of this transgender ideology by reestablishing it as a mental disorder. Because if we don't, kids that desperately need psychiatric help will instead be taught that transgenderism is a solution to their problems, even when it has failed for so many troubled souls.
I used to believe that I was born the wrong body, and the adults in my life whom I trusted affirmed my belief, and this caused me lifelong irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America. I speak to you in the hope that you will have the courage to bring the scandal to an end and ensure that other vulnerable teenagers, children, and young adults don't go through what I went through.
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's owned and produced by Patrick Harelci and me, Adriana Cortez, for Informed Ventures. Now you can get ad-free access to our entire catalog of episodes by becoming a Backstage subscriber. To subscribe, just visit redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com.
The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at High5Casino.com.
High Five Casino.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in, then flags any hidden errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see any other healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.